Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Shop up to 40% off with minimum purchase and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Plus, pay at your own pace starting at 0% APR with Affirm. Terms apply.
We spoke about it before. Hal Steinbrenner met the media today, I guess in his yearly year-end Zoom. I have no idea. I didn't get a sneak peek on social media. I know you said you did see one thing. Uh-huh. Let's listen to it here together. Hal Steinbrenner talking about the Yankees' disappointing season as obviously they fall short yet again of another World Series. Here's Hal.
Hey, Hal. Thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate it. You've mentioned in the past that a payroll in $300 million range is not sustainable, but you've also exceeded that figure the last two seasons. Are you willing to go over $300 million again, or do you intend to be below that number?
First question of the day. My goodness. Look, I know you guys want a number. We finished this year at $319 million, actually, was the final number. So just shy of, shy of 320. It's the same every year. What I tell Cashman is I want to know all the possibilities that are out there. I will talk to all your people about them. I will hear them out. And I will decide whether or not I'm able or willing to pull the trigger on them. And it's not going to be any different this year. I mean, it's not like I'm giving my head of marketing an advertising budget. Here's how much you can spend on advertising this year. I mean, they know what a billboard costs. They know what a 30-second ad costs. I can give them a number, and in 10 minutes, they're going to know exactly what they're going to do and what they're not going to be able to do. This is a much more fluid situation. I mean, we don't know what's out there as far as possibilities, and the possibilities that we do know are out there, we don't know what they're going to cost. I mean, it's way too early for that at this point in time. So it's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, we can talk before he goes into winter meetings about a range, but because it's a fluid situation, that range can go bye-bye in 2 seconds. If there's a deal that, you know, arises that I feel would be very beneficial to some area of need that we have. So it's hard to give you a number. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a different deal.
Understood. And just to follow up on that, with the CBA set to expire after next season, there's some uncertainty over the game's financial parameters moving forward. Just will those uncertainties impact how you guys approach the offseason? And if so, how?
No. What's going to impact, again, is what the number is and what luxury tax that creates, the amount, and how that looks in our overall financial situation. I mean, that's all that matters.
Hal, I know your focus has surely already shifted to 2026. But when you reflect on 2025, what most encouraged you about this team? What most disappointed you about this team?
Well, what most encouraged me about the team is how well they played together, how incredible they had each other's backs, how incredible the clubhouse was. They like many teams we've had in the past, never thought they were out of it, never thought they were going to lose a game. And, you know, when they had a tough loss the next day, it's almost like it didn't happen. They just bounced right back. What was disappointing, obviously, was the result. I didn't like that 6-7 week period that we had where we were making mistakes, not playing good baseball, not hitting. That can't happen every year, in my opinion.
But it does.
And certainly what happened in the postseason was disappointing. We went in healthy. We went in my opinion, playing good ball and got through that first tough series. And I really thought we were going to go on a roll. And we just quit hitting. And, you know, our pitching faltered as well. I think somebody told me we gave up 34 runs in 34 innings. You're not going to beat the Blue Jays, as good a team as they are doing that. So it was disappointing. It was disappointing.
Okay, so a couple of things there, obviously. You know, and Hal was having some fun with it. Oh, first question of the day, payroll. But that isn't that kind of where we are? It's not an out-of-bounds question. I mean, that's pretty much the biggest question of the Yankees or around the Yankees every year. Not are they going to spend, but is there a drop-dead amount? And not because we're making this up. It's because Hal has spoken about this in the past, right? Now, remember you said before we actually played some of those cuts from Hal that I saw something on social media.
Yeah.
I want to read this to you. Now, Hal said it's not fair to assume that the Yankees make a profit. That's right. This is Brian Hoke had this, right? Quote, I don't want to get into it, but that's not a fair statement or an accurate one. Everybody wants to talk about revenues, but they need to talk about our expenses, including, and this we heard this a couple of years ago, the $100 million expense to the city of New York that we have to pay on February 1st every year, including the COVID year, so it all adds up in a hurry. I'm not saying that that's not true. It is. I just don't want to hear it. The Yankees are worth $8 billion. $8 billion was their most recent valuation, number one in baseball. The Mets, I think, were sixth. At $3.1 billion, the Yankees generated $705 million. The Mets $446 million.
Yeah.
Anybody asking Cohen what he's going to spend?
No. And if they did, if they did, what do you think he'd say?
Whatever it takes to do it.
Yeah. It's very simple. First question right out of the gate. Yeah. Because you used to operate one way. Other teams have now passed you by. You continue to reference the luxury tax threshold. Obviously, it's not working. So if the Dodgers can just have no limits and the Mets can have no limits, then the Yankees should also have no limits. So I didn't think he handled it poorly, but it's a very simple answer. We will do whatever it takes to build a winning ball club.
Yeah, and listen, you have to be true to yourself. This applies to Stearns when he spoke, which I think he was. And I think this is who Hal is. I think Hal is an incredibly likable gentleman. I really do. I'm fond of him as a – like I think he's a good guy. But, that doesn't really matter that much anymore. And I just, for once, would like to hear an agitated Hal Steinbrenner. Not about the financial questions, about the state of his Yankees, who have not won since 2009.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Here's more with Hal.
Hal, when you look at 2026, Cody Bellinger, very productive, fit in very seamlessly. On your off-season checklist, how much of a priority is trying to bring Bellinger back?
Not going to get into free agents, Jack. You know that. We're looking at every area of need, and we will deem which needs are most significant and which aren't. We still need another outfielder. We have options. We need to improve the bullpen for sure. I really love our starting rotation next year. We got to get through April and get Cole back and Rodon back. But it's going to be an incredible rotation if everybody comes back as planned. And I think we're pretty good on the infield as well. But we're going to look at all options like we always do, as I just said, and see what's possible and what's not.
The Blue Jays run. They hit behind the runner. They strike out less often. They play solid defense. They made it to Game 7 of the World Series. For so many years, the Blue Jays wanted to be like the Yankees. Do the Yankees want to be like the Blue Jays now?
Well, look, I think balance in life is everything. I mean, they slug the ball too. It's not just putting balls in play. They definitely slug the ball. Hitting strikes hard, particularly in the air, not that you're trying to hit it over the fence, but in the air, statistically speaking, the results speak for themselves. I mean, you have a better chance of success when you do that. But we tried to, become more balanced, picking up guys like Jazz, guys that can put the ball into play. So I do think you need that. You can't simply be a slugging home run team. They had a great year. I'm curious to see next year how well they do with that roster, assuming it stays mostly intact. But they were a great team. They definitely played better than us. They slugged better than us. And they hit the ball and put it in play better than us. And they pitched better than us. And that's why they won.
See, Hal basically said, well, infield set, rotation looking good, need another outfielder. What does that mean? Bringing Bellinger back? They're going to run it back again?
You know, it's funny you say that because I jotted the same thing down because he was talking about the pitching, which I totally agree. The pitching has a chance to be the best in baseball. Got to get some guys healthy, whatever. But then when he said, quote, we're pretty good on the infield. Hold on a second. Teixeira, Cano, Jeter, A-Rod versus Rice, Grisham, Caballero / Volpe, and McMahon?
Jazz. You said Grisham, but you mean Jazz. Yeah, yeah. I get what I'm saying. Yeah.
Good God. I mean, that's...
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
It's a little worrisome.
It's worrisome in that I'd like to hear a little more of what Stern said, and it wasn't good enough, and we know that we need to change it up. And it sounds like, now, I still think the Yankees are going to make some moves here.
Me too.
To what extent, I have no idea, but it can't just be, we'll bring Bellinger back, and we're going to have a better rotation because Cole's coming back. And this is something that you thought that might be the case with the Yankees. There's no way that could be the case. They can't be that stupid to think that you could just run it back and have Gerrit Cole come back and everything's going to be great. No, it's not good enough. First base wasn't good enough. Catcher wasn't good enough. Third base wasn't good enough. Shortstop wasn't good enough. Second base at best is inconsistent. I wouldn't go with Jack. Like, they have issues here. You got to restructure this thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got a center fielder who's getting $22 million that... I wish he didn't sign it. I wish he wasn't on the team next year. I said that. You know, there's so many other things I want to hear from Hal, and I'm sure we'll get to the Japanese market to me is a very interesting question at this point. But the thought that the Yankees, and I remember saying this to you a week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago. Now, I'm not saying that this would work, but it's not a bad route if that's what you're going to do. If they were to go all in on Skubal and give up whatever it would take to get Skubal, and they try, and they don't do much else except bringing back Bellinger. That's acceptable to me. If they go into now they'd have to get a little bit of bullpen work as well, but I'm talking about the main ingredients.
Bullpen, like we all understand.
And Cashman's very good at fixing that, so I almost don't even worry about that. And Bednar seemed to be a very good fit for New York at the back end. But if you go into next season, once you get past April, and you got Skubal, and you got Fried, and you got Cole, and you got Schlittler, and you got Rodon, and you got Clark Schmidt coming back in, you know, August, and even Will Warren, he'd probably have to trade. And then you bring back Bellinger and you have Judge. Well, that's a chance to win a World Series differently. But without a Skubal or a Skeens type of trade and just Bellinger, you don't win.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do that myself. In that hypothetical, I would look to maybe move from one of the starters, let's say Rodon, if you could somehow get somebody to take on his remaining salary and then use that piece, let's say, to get a third baseman or upgrade in a certain way, maybe get a different catcher in here. I just don't like the way the Yankees are built with the first base situation, DH situation, catcher, third, short. I mean, there are a lot. Outfield, I wouldn't worry about. Especially if you bring Bellinger back, I think they'd be okay in the outfield.
I don't
have a leadoff hitter. I mean, we talked about that.
I don't deflect. You're right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of positions, and they're going to address some of them, obviously. But McMahon was acquired last year, and McMahon's going to play this year. And, you know, Grisham did what he did a year ago, and he's probably going to bat first again this year, unless you get Kwan, which we'll see. Yeah, it's a very imperfect team. The good thing is you got Judge, you got a couple of top-level pitchers, and you've got a payroll that's going to be very competitive, but they got to go the extra mile. I mean, Aaron Judge is prime. Tick, tick, tick.
Let's hear more from Hal.
Hal, is the Yankees' mantra still World Series or bust? I know I've asked you that before. And is that realistic?
Attaboy, Bruce.
I certainly thought it was last year. And, you know, now we begin the work of next year. That's our one and only focus. But I absolutely went into the playoffs believing we could win a championship, of course. And the team was good enough to win a championship. But they've got to play up to their potential. And, you know, the Blue Jays did, and we didn't. And it's across the board. And that's why the end score was what it was.
Even with a $300 million payroll, you said the final figure was 319. You were still outspent by the Dodgers and the Mets. Is your view of whether a salary cap should be proposed changed over time? And would you still favor a cap proposal if it was proposed?
Look, I don't feel like I'm in a position right now, research-wise, knowledge-wise, to answer that question. We'll always be among the highest payroll-wise. We always have been, always will be. Look, there are groups of fans out there in different areas, including my hometown here in Tampa, that come to, and I've addressed this before, come to spring training games thinking their team has little chance of making the playoffs, or at least little chance of making it deep into the playoffs. And those fans would argue that that's not good for baseball as a whole. And, you know, it's a valid argument. Whether it's true or not, it's a valid argument. So, thank but you. I mean, yeah, that's about all I got for you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
At this point in time.
Hey, Hal, when you talk to players and coaches around this team and about things that you need to do better, what are some of the things that they say to you, and do you agree with it? Just, you know, ways this team can improve for 26.
Yeah, look, mental mistakes, base running for sure, which is why we made a change there, has been a thorn in our side most of the season last year or this year. So yes, whatever concerns that they have, you know, it's not just them, obviously Cash is involved too, intimately involved, you know, we're going to make a change and we're going to do better at it. But if you're asking specific about this year, the base running mistakes was not good, not good. So we've made a change there coaching wise and, you know, we're going to expect better results this year, coming year.
At the start of the year, you were quoted as saying it's difficult for most owners to do what the Dodgers are doing, spending. Mm-hmm. And you wondered if it would pay off for them. I'm curious, does the fact that they've now won back-to-back titles change your thinking at all and how you approach this offseason or future offseasons when it comes to spending like them?
Yeah, look, if there's a correlation between spending the most money and winning a championship, I still think it's a weak correlation. You know, sample size of data, not very big. But they earned every bit of it. I mean, they struggle with injuries throughout the season, which I did talk about in that same quote. But they got healthy at the right time. The rotation got healthy. And when that rotation's healthy, they're tough to beat. And they, quite frankly, played up to their potential. I mean, they really played up to their potential, especially those last two games. And that has to happen. Your players have to play up to their potential when you're playing a team as good as the Blue Jays and you're playing under that kind of pressure in the World Series. So, you know, hats off to them. It's not easy to do twice, and they did it in dramatic fashion this time. And, but again, we'll see what they do next year, and we'll see how it pans out. You know, there was nothing low about my payroll and the Mets' payroll, and you know, look where we ended up.
See, I'm not hearing the edge that you were looking to hear and the frustration, or I don't want to say he doesn't care because I do believe Hal cares.
100%.
But not to the level that.
Yeah. He's not us. He's never going to sound you or me. I mean, he's just not wired like many of the New York Yankee fans are in terms of just that visceral personality.
Or his father.
His pops, of course.
I hate to keep going down that road. He's not George, but that's who he's going to be compared to because that was his father. And when George owned the team, he'd come on and he'd be ticked off and heads would be rolling. And he'd say, this is not good enough. I don't want to hear about the payroll. I don't want to hear about the Dodgers. I don't care. We need to build a better team so we're the world champion. That's what the Yankees used to be. And now Hal's just like, well, I mean, the Dodgers, you know, they had a great World Series, but they played up to their potential.
And they got healthy at the right time.
What are you going to do? I mean,
you know, it's funny because, and we've talked about it a few times here today, the Alex versus A-Rod documentary, really so much, at least, he thinks that medical professionals think that a lot of Alex's issues stem back to his dad abandoning him when he left at the age of 10, right? Up in Washington Heights, and then eventually when they went to the DR, and then things really disintegrated when they went to Miami, and then he left, right? So, and Alex has owned that and, you know, made a lot of mistakes. Many probably derived from that hole and that that abandonment that, you know, if you look at psychology, that definitely connects. As much, we know Hal's never going to be his dad, but I think in a lot of ways, maybe he's trying purposely not to be his dad. Because as we sit here and glorify George, right? You know, the championships, whatever it takes, George, the military, you know, he loves this and that, and we love all that about George. But there was a lot about George, if you're old enough, that you couldn't stand. And I'm raising my hand right there with you. Incredibly frustrated with George. Now, imagine being George's son, you know, growing up in that kind of environment. So maybe it's a purposeful separation from his dad's personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Either way, to me, it's just the results aren't good enough. I get that winning 94 games is great. I would like to see a little more frustration and irrational behavior. I get that you also want to see rationale from front offices.
Yeah.
The Yankees are at a point where we need to see a little irrationalness.
I like the way you frame that. Yeah. And you know what? Let me just push the very basic psychological evaluations aside, since that's certainly not my lane here. It's just my opinion. It could be onto something, maybe not, whatever. One thing that he did say about the base running, and this is a problem, right? So, you know, we changed some coaches. That's going to be addressed. Okay. Does anybody think that a new coach is going to get Jazz Chisholm locked in on the bases? Right. The answer is no. Does anybody think that a new coach is going to get Austin Wells, who just wandered off a second base, not knowing how many outs there were, to be a more locked-in base runner? For me, the answer is no. And these are fundamental issues that have permeated the organization forever. Richardson, the Mets,
yeah.
Right? You could put Richardson at first base in the Mets, and the Yankees probably still have some issues running the bags because a lot of their players, and now some players they brought in have been better. Bellinger's better, obviously. Even Goldschmidt was older and slower, smart base runner. I get it. They did make up some ground in that department, and they caught the baseball better. But I've always gone back to the guts. If you lift up the hood and you get to the engine of the Yankees, we focus on payroll and free agency. I've always thought it's deeper than that.
Let's listen to more from Hal Steinbrenner. We got a bunch more still here? Okay, we got a bunch more from Hal. Let's see if he says anything that gets us excited about the Yankees coming up. Here's more.
Now, you mentioned consistently having one of the highest payrolls. Do you feel like that money has been spent well enough in recent years?
Well, the intent was certainly there, and the research and the homework was certainly there. I can't complain about that. You know, you're always looking hindsight, right? Hindsight's 20/20. Certainly some things haven't worked out, but it's not for, not for not doing the research and the homework and everything else. Again, the team on paper, on the back of the baseball cards is one thing, and then how they perform, particularly in the postseason, which is a bit of a crapshoot, is two different things. And, you know, you got to wait to find out the second. But make sure on the first that, you know, you're getting guys that should make sense and that should perform in this market and should fill these areas of needs, whatever the need is.
Hal, thanks for taking the time. Going back to the salary cap thing, you had mentioned in the past that you'd consider supporting a cap depending on what the cap is and it being contingent on there being a floor. Has your thinking changed on that?
Well, we're going to talk about hypotheticals. You know how much I love those. But yes, I really wouldn't have anything to add. I would consider supporting a cap only if it's accompanied by a floor. And of course, it depends what the number is. I mean, I wish I had more for you, man. But I mean, that's where I'm at right now. But that is something on the record. Yes, that I've said.
But I mean, so when you talk about a floor, like, do you have a yeah in mind? Like, what's a number that would sound good to you in terms of a floor?
Something that would be reasonable enough that it would improve competitive balance significantly in this sport, which many fans already argue is not good enough. I think we've made strides the last 10 years in some of the things we've done, but as an industry, probably not near where we need to be. At least that's what the majority of the fans believe. And there's a number of ways to attack that problem, including some we've done in the past.
Hal, you mentioned there was a 6 to 7 week stretch this summer where the team just didn't play good baseball. That's happened in the past. Last year, you guys were able to recover and make the World Series. Obviously, this year it cost you the division, home field, a bye. What needs to change so you can avoid those summertime, those ruts that you guys seem to have pretty much every season?
That's the last good question. Few
years? Yeah, look, again, it wasn't for lack of confidence. It wasn't for lack of working hard. It's a difficult question to ask. There's nothing coaching-wise that I feel we could have done differently. But you know as well as I do, you've been around probably longer than me, probably. And it's you know, players start to push when they struggle. And then you start chasing bad pitches. And there's just a myriad of things that happen when a team really struggles like that. I don't expect to see that every year. We're too good for that. But you're right. It was bad last year, and it did cost us the division. We could have won one more game and won the division, right? One of the Miami games, for instance. It was frustrating, definitely frustrating. But again, it's not for lack of effort, trying, and, you know, optimism, because there's all that in that clubhouse.
Getting back to Chris's question about the Dodgers, are you worried that they're pulling away from the pack? I mean, they've won three championships now in 6 years. They're obviously very wealthy. They have a connection to the Japanese market. Is it a concern to you as a rival and as one of the 29 other owners?
Well, I'll just speak for Hal Steinbrenner. Of course, it's a concern. They do have tremendous resources, but they've gotten the job done. That's the big thing. I mean, they played to their potential when they needed to, overcome a lot of injuries this year. But again, got healthy at the right time. I don't know what next year is going to bring, but it's always a concern anytime I feel that, you know, one team is pulling away from the other 29, selfishly pulling away from me. I'm not quite sure I'm convinced of that yet, because so much happens during the course of a baseball season. But all we can do is, you know, do the best we can, put the best team together, the best roster together that we can. And again, not have 6 week periods like we had last year. That does us no good.
Can I tell you, that's the first thing that he said that truly bothers me. The start of that. All right. And we probably played 8 or 9 cuts from Hal, and, you know, we're pretty much getting what we expected here. But there were two things here. First, he was asked about the, you know, maybe misspending some funding and allocating the wrong money to the wrong player, or too much money to the wrong player. And then he was also asked about these summer swoons, right? And which, by the way, happen every single year. And his answer for that, to me, was not really acceptable, because he said, well, some of the misspent funds, it's not because we didn't do our homework or do our research. That's the bare minimum starting point. What?
Because of lack of effort or trying.
I almost said what you almost said earlier, the S word. Like, no belief, man. And then when you talk about these summer swoons, he said it wasn't for a lack of working hard. That's job requirement number one for a pro athlete, to work hard. And I think that's my biggest disconnect with Hal and his approach as an owner. Now, to be, you know, volatile and combustible, like, is that never going to happen? But, you know, you could be a step more than where you are now, where it shouldn't always be explained away by, hey, we did our due diligence, we did our homework, we worked hard, we played hard, we tried, it just didn't work out. Why not?
Right.
Why didn't it work out?
I want him to be a little less rational.
Why didn't it work out?
Him and the front office and the DON, the Yankee Department of Nerds, they're all saying the same thing. Well, look at it on paper. Like, we have a good team. We won a bunch of games. Yeah, okay, well, the base running needs to get better. Although, like, Boone disputed that throughout the course of the year.
He did say a couple
times. So Hal, at least acknowledging that. But, yeah. Hey, you know, we I love our pitching. You know, we got to help the bullpen a little bit. We're pretty good on the infield. Like, we now calls for a little sprinkle of irrational behavior. And it doesn't mean that you got to go like a drunken sailor over the top, but clearly, I don't understand how they could just sit there and watch the same thing over and over and over again and just saying, like, yeah, I mean, you know, we can't have the swoon next year. Well, we'll do something about it. To your point, BT, well, why? Why are we relying on so many young guys? Why haven't the young guys developed to the level that we expect them to develop? Why haven't you gone over the top to compensate for the lack of development with the younger players, to bring in big-name players the way that you used to when you were successful back when your father was running things back in 2009? There's a lot of different things the Yankees could do, and instead they just continue to have the blinders on and say they're smarter than everybody else, and the results continue to be the same every year.
Now, I want to react to what they do and not necessarily what they say. I think that's always the smart way to do it, but they've kind of said the same thing for a while, and they've kind of done the same thing for a while, clearly acknowledging that they've gone above and beyond to give Yankee fans a winner, just not above and beyond where they usually have gone. Yeah, you know, listen, guys, here's the reality of it. We are getting perilously close to this like my son's generation and then multiple future generations pulling up baseballreference.com, putting in Aaron Judge's name and seeing bold and black and italicized everywhere and saying, wow, they never won with this guy?
Right. If there was ever a time to just try it for old time's sake, just go all the way in for a couple of seasons. Now is the time to do that. Let's listen to more from Hal here before we break.
The other question is just your thoughts on the job that Aaron Boone is doing? If you had to give him a grade, what would it be?
God, please don't make me repeat myself, Bob. I've been asked this question so many times. He's a good manager at many of the things he has to do. He's not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But he is great at dealing with the players, with his staff, with Cash's people, and with Cash, with you guys. You know, and he makes overall good decisions on the field. Right. So, you know, you can't pin this on Aaron Boone, that's for sure. This Toronto series was on the players. It's on the players' shoulders, period. They didn't hit. We had a couple bad starts. And obviously against the Blue Jays, as I've already said, you can't do any of that when they're playing as good as they were playing, entering the playoffs.
Wanted to ask you, Hal, you said you can't name a figure for your projected payroll, but a range. You were at 319, you said, last year. Can you give us a range? Is that the range? I've seen it suggested you want to go down this year. Is that true? And also, I've seen it suggested that your revenues were over 700. So I'm assuming you make a profit. Is that fair as well?
No, it's not fair, actually. So
you take a loss?
Don't want to get into it, but that's not a fair statement or an accurate statement. You need to, you know, everybody wants to talk about revenues. They need to talk about our expenses, including the $100 million expense to the city of New York that we have to pay every February 1st, including the COVID year. So it all starts to add up in a hurry. Nobody spends more money, I don't believe, on player development, and scouting, performance science. So these all start to add up, John. And you know, if you want to go look at the revenues, you got to somehow try to figure out the expense side as well. You might be surprised. But that aside, I didn't say every year we do a range, but some years going into the winter meetings, we do talk about a range. But that range is rarely come true, as I found, for all the reasons I already talked about. He's going to bring me anything and everything. And, you know, he and his people have to work harder because that's the way I want it, but that's the way I want it. So we will see. We will see what happens and what presents itself trade-wise and free agent-wise.
I mean, I kind of like that when he says, you know, they have to work harder and that's the way I want it because that's the way I want it. So suck it up, basically. But how about the fact that he alluded to the Yankees? You're telling me now they're losing money or not making as much money as we thought?
Well, this is what I read earlier, yeah. That Hoak transcribed. Right, okay, right. So, yeah, when you hear it, I'm happy. And I figured we would play it, but the thumbnail sketches, and I mean, it's as simple a research as you could possibly do. The Yankees, their most recent valuation is $8 billion. Nobody has a higher valuation. And I could throw in the Dodgers, but I'll look at the Mets. Yanks are $8 billion. Mets are $3.1 billion. The Yankees' revenue generation was $705 million a year ago, and the Mets was right below $450. Massive advantage, Yankees. Now, obviously, you know, I don't know the inner workings of the city deal and the leases and the other side.
I don't think
that he's lying. I think that he's understating the amount of profit that they make. I definitely don't think he's lying. I mean, if you listen to that again, the first thing he was like, well, no, I wouldn't. Don't assume that. Come on, Hal. I mean, the safest assumption in the world is that the Yankees are making a profit.
Wait, right, what? But then the money that they spend, which we could be looking at it just as the major league payroll, but to his point, you know, the Yankees are more involved with scouting and minor league system
and
all this.
Where's the data that supports that? Well, I'm not saying that they're not very involved. I know that they spend more than the Orioles, and I know that the Mets had, that was one of the big problems with the Mets for years, and they've changed that a little bit.
Right, but I don't think to the level of the Yankees.
Like no, I agree. I think the Yankees operate very much first rate in that regard, and I'm just throwing out a number. Like, how much can you spend on that? $50 million? There's no way. You got Steinbrenner Field. The Rays just gave you $10 million, Major League Baseball, to let them use the stadium. So whatever operating costs in the minor leagues was largely offset by the $10 million check you got from baseball.
But either way, to me, the fan doesn't want to hear about that.
No, that's the point.
Like, Steve Cohen's not making money. Doesn't matter. He's trying to win.
I think he's making money.
I believe that the Mets were losing money.
I don't want to say fudge the numbers illegally. Present things as a lot. Listen, the Mets generated $446 million last year. Their payroll was, what, 360, right. 370?
Yeah, so, but that's a big league payroll, but you're not talking about everything.
Understood. So maybe it was a push. Maybe they did lose a few, whatever. But the Yankees are as profitable as the Cowboys, as anybody.
Right. If the Yankees can't make money, then they're all
back
screwed.
Back up shop, Minnesota.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling. They are New Jersey's heating experts, and we have dual callers of the day, David Stearns, who we heard from earlier, and Hal Steinbrenner. Let's continue listening to Hal.
Is it likely you won't go down? You'll probably stay the same or go up then?
I think, you know, would it be ideal if I went down? Of course. But does that mean that's going to happen? Of course not. Again, we want to field a team we know can win a championship, or we believe can win a championship. We don't know anything in that regards, as far as the future. But yeah, so it just hasn't changed, John, which is why, you know, payrolls have gone up probably every year. Doesn't mean they won't go slightly down one year and then up the year after that. I mean, it all depends on what's out there and what the possibilities are and how much I feel, you know, we're able or we need to pull the trigger on those possibilities.
Hal, I understand the Yankees will take good players wherever they can find them, right? But do you think it's important to the organization to have Japanese representation on its roster? And is that something you plan on pursuing this offseason?
Well, I'm not going to talk about who's available or not available in offseason. You know, do I feel it would be good to have Japanese representation? Of course. You know, we have in the past. We were very much in on Yamamoto, as you know. It did not work out. You know, there's some inherent advantages to a Japanese player being on the West Coast versus the Northeast. But wasn't for a lack of trying, I can assure you of that. So, but, representation of Japanese players, yes, that's an important thing. And again, that's why we tried so hard to get Yamamoto and others.
Is that at all business motivated? Again, you want great players on the field, but there's certain perks that come with that off the field as well.
I think you know, the Japanese population in this country would love to see a Japanese player play for the New York Yankees. What that translates into from my perspective, I don't know, nor can I quantify it. But certainly it's a big, you know, baseball, as you know, better than me, is king of Japan. And a lot of Japanese fans here in the U.S. would love to see that. And, you know, we've tried and we'll continue to try.
Hey, Hal, I just want to make sure I get this right. I cover baseball, not finances. But you had mentioned that it wasn't necessarily accurate to say that you guys made a revenue this year. I'm just trying to get this right. Did you guys say that you guys didn't make money this season? Like,
I'm not going to get into our finances. I simply said what he implied was not correct.
Hal, a couple of weeks ago, Aaron Boone made a comment that he believed that the Yankees were the least analytical team when it came to in-game decisions in the AL East, just considering how much money you guys pour into that side of the operation. Would that be okay with you if that were true?
Well, I don't know what the question was, nor did I hear the answer, but I will tell you, we do put a lot of money into analytics, and Aaron Boone is great at absorbing everything that comes his way. I assume what he's talking about is there are some teams in baseball, our division or not, where every decision that's made in the dugout during the course of a game is based on analytics more than anything else. And that's not necessarily the case with us. Aaron's got leeway to make the decision however he wants to make it. But he's got all the information. That's the important thing. That's what we spend the money on to get him that information, along with the pro scouting information, talking about the other side. He gets it all, and what he does in the dugout is what he does in the dugout. And there are some teams that are different than that.
All right, there you have it. So that was everything from Hal. In summation, I don't feel like much is going to change here. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not going to make, you know, a big move or two, but, I mean, he's just not... The changes that need to be made, I don't think Hal's got the either stomach for it or believes that those type of changes need to be made. Therefore, Cashman and the Yankee DON, Department of Nerds, can just do the same thing and hope that the results are different. You even heard Hal reference it multiple times, BT. Well, the Blue Jays, when they play like that, you know what? Tough to beat. Like, it's almost like, well, they won't get that lucky again. Dodgers, same thing. Well, the Dodgers reached their... That won't happen again. It's all these other teams just maxed out, and the Yankees were unfortunate that that was the case, as opposed to the Yankees being the aggressor here. I can't feel totally encouraged from what I heard from Hal today.
I mean, listen, if they won the World Series 3 years ago and we've had a little randomness since, it's a little easier to digest. I think that that's just a very, very, very easy way. Now, maybe he doesn't even really truly feel that. Maybe just by saying that, it allows him to gloss over it, and behind closed doors, you know, he's a little more belligerent or hold guys more accountable and gets after it a little bit more. I don't know. I just think that, you know, to think that, like, and I've really never thought this, would be pleasantly stunned, but nothing's going to happen, we're not going to wake up and Tucker's going to sign 10 years, four bills with the Yankees. Not happening.
I don't see that
happening at all. And by the way, if that did happen.
Yankees loved him a year ago. What's the holdup?
Well, then probably the money. That's probably the answer. And then, you know, they also have to get Bellinger. So I think it's either or. If they did do that, well, then everything that Hal just said today that we're kind of questioning goes out the window. Like, if they sign Tucker, it doesn't matter how we just interpreted that press conference. You sign Tucker, Tucker. It's a pretty massive swing.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I just don't think that they will.
Well, but that alone also doesn't make them World Series contenders. They still have to figure out the other pieces. Okay, let's say you sign Tucker. In all likelihood, that's going to mean the end of Bellinger unless you bring him back to play first base, which then could help some things out. But I'm assuming that it's one or the other. And if it's Tucker, okay, now you have a legitimate player. He's a good player. You put him in left field. He could do a lot of the little things. But now you're making up for the loss of Bellinger. So where did you exactly get better? You kind of got to add Bellinger, and then on top of it,
something you've been saying for a while. Listen, the other thing too is, you know, the Mets made a trade. Now they still have more to do here. Obviously, it's the first move that I think is going to result in a really good offseason. We'll say. I said it till I'm blue in the face. That's what I think is going to happen. You know, and it took guts to get rid of Nimmo. How about we wake up in 2 days or tonight or in 5 days and we see that Stanton was traded?
Bingo.
I mean, could it maybe be time to do something a little radical here? You know, if the Mets, now they didn't say this because they want to be respectful to Nimmo, as they should. Something was a little bit off with the Mets. Now, I don't think there's anything off with Stanton in terms of how he's perceived, but in terms of by his teammates, he's revered. But in terms of just logistically, you know, really compromising the Yankees lineup that they could trot out on a day in and day out basis. Trade Stanton. Let's start with something like that.
Right. The Yankees have needed to make a move like that. See, everybody always thinks, well, a trade should make you better immediately. The Nimmo trade made the Mets better at second base, but also created a vacancy in the outfield that the next move should be able to make them better. So trading Stanton just in isolation doesn't, well, how are you going to get better with trading Stanton? Because it's now opening up some wiggle room here to where you can move Ben Rice to DH and maybe go get a better first baseman or whatever, outfielder or third baseman. You can reconstruct the roster differently than what you've been doing, where it clearly doesn't work relying on a guy, even though Stanton at his peak is as good a hitter as there is in the game. At his peak, he's never at his peak all year long. He's always hurt. He can't play the field. He can't run the base. Like, there's a million things wrong with having him on your ball club. So addition by subtraction in that particular case.
And if you want to get Judge off his feet, and Judge is now 27, and Stanton's healthy, you know, when he is, well, guess what? You can't do it. You're going to have to run Judge out to the outfield. See, I don't know this. This would fascinate me. I would love to absolutely know the 100% truth. So the Mets make this move. Is there, I don't want to say a wink and a nod, that's a little bit pushing it past what I think could have happened, but when you trade Nimmo, you obviously know you have to upgrade left field. Yeah. That's a given. So, like, you know, and Stearns is connected with whomever he's connected with. Hey, would you be open to trading this Kwan? Hey, does Tucker like New York? Hey, is Bellinger, you know, maybe okay with leaving the Yankees? You'd have to think that some intel, right on some, to what level, I don't know.
Or Buxton in Minnesota. It doesn't Something, have to just right? be a left field. It could be a center fielder, and then they use one of the younger guys in left. But,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, they're anticipating they're going to be able to acquire an outfielder. Of course.
I think it's more than anticipation, though. Like, that's kind of like maybe an ounce of intel, and then, you know, you've got to obviously read the tea leaves. That, to me, would be, like, that's what the great teams do. You do something, and because you kind of know something else is coming.
Well, we started with the Giants. Let's close with the Giants. The Giants drive of the game brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, reminding you to make the right choice. Don't drive impaired. For me, BT, I'm going to go with the touchdown reception for Jameis Winston. That was the last points that the Giants scored, unfortunately. But at the time, you know, 5-minute drive gives them a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And it was a crazy play call. How do you say his name? Olszewski?
Oh, yeah. Olszewski. Stepping up in the pocket.
Yeah, throwing a touchdown pass to Jameis. And who had the game on TV? They didn't even realize that it was Winston who received it at first.
Because he didn't look like he gave a little spin, shove.
He broke a tackle getting
in. He did.
That was a fun drive for the Giants. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way that we wanted it to end.
I could co-sign that. You know, I did not think he was going to get in those final 5 yards. And by the way, film session, I think that was a linebacker who got hung up back there.
Yeah.
He's going to get roasted. It's like he got beat up by, like, Vic or even Fields as an athlete. Or, you know, Lamar Jackson sliced you up. Jameis Winston, who was pretty non-athletic.
Yeah, but he's not just a regular quarterback with those moves, breaking a tackle. And that's some fragile guy getting in. Anyways, a great play. That was the Giants' drive of the game. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoffa, as always. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.